Morning. Am I on? So, creation series, session 17. Hard to believe that I've taught you 17 times, but the glory, thy glory in the heavens. So for years, Psalm 19 was my key verse or chapter. The heavens declare the glory of God. And then I found Psalm 8 a few years ago. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. And so that's the title of the Sunday school lesson today. So Becky came to me after the Sunday school last week and said this: do you realize that the donkeys that you talked about sometimes are intermingled with flocks to protect them? Sheep producers in Australia, United States, and Western Canada have successfully used donkeys as guard animals, protecting sheep from the predation by wolves, coyotes, and dogs. Interesting. I did not know that. Donkeys are good at this because they're rated as either excellent or very good at doing this. They have a low cost. They have a herding instinct. And they have an inherent dislike and aggressiveness toward coyotes. All those things being good. Then Derek sent me a link where archaeologists have found evidence of an area that seems to be completely destroyed by something from above, melted roofs and so on. And of course, your biblical scholars who are Christians say Sodom and Gomorrah. Those that are not say, well, this is something else. I was also at my son's this weekend talking about archaeology, and I said, you know, a lot of the people that I checked with on the internet did not rate the Dead Sea Scrolls up there as number one in archaeology finds. And he said, well, to me, probably the biggest archaeology find would be that ark that they discovered in Kentucky. I wonder where he gets that. I know, I'm not a biologist, but I know a little bit about hereditary traits. So this has always been kind of the key that I, because I don't come in here and say, okay, open up to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. I don't teach the Bible. I teach scientific things. And my idea of what I do is encouraging the believers to believe what you believe. The Word of God is reliable in science and archaeology and so on, right down the line.
Amen.
So here's what I want to talk about today. The planets, meteors, comets, stars, nebulas, and galaxies. Now, a lot of what I'm going to show you are pictures or videos that come from the Hubble Space Telescope. Do you realize when they sent it up decades ago that it was called the Hubble Space Telescope? Not named because of the Flintstones, but because the pictures coming back from it were just horrible. They did a modification on it. They went up. They sent some astronauts up. They tinkered with it, and now it's sending back beautiful, beautiful pictures of the glory of God in the heavens. So first, let's talk about planets. So here we see a diagram. Now, this is not to scale, right? The planets, most of what's in the solar system is space. So we see, and you memorize that, my very educated mother just served us 9 pizzas. Do you remember that?
No.
Well, it's interesting that this diagram shows Earth. Do you realize that there are people that believe that the Earth is flat? I think most of that is exaggeration by evolutionists about what some people's positions are. Here's something that the National Center for Science Education published, and it was used at the school that I taught at, a local school here. I'll give you the initials, Jefferson High School. And this was floated around among the students, passed around. I don't know where you are on this spectrum. A spectrum, you know, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, that's the color, the visible color spectrum. And here's the spectrum of belief. You got your atheistic evolution at the bottom there, theistic evolution, progressive creation, day-age creationism, gap creationism, young earth creationism. Most of you, I assume, are called YECs, young earth creationists. We believe in 6 days, 6 literal days, approximately 6,000 years ago. And notice who you are associated with. Young Earth creationism, geocentrist, do you know what that is? A geocentrist believes that that Earth is the center of the universe. All right, now I'm going to use this program right here. This is really a cool program called Starry Night Backyard. I probably had it for 30 years. And this simulates what's going on in space, right? In fact, I can blame this for most of the reasons I'm not prepared this morning, because I'd get on this and, okay, I need to do this, and then I would play with it for an hour. So let me just show you the planets. We got the inner planets. And I'm going to crank this up and start it. It makes me a little dizzy. Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars. Slow it down a little bit here. Stop it. And this is really cool. You can grab it and you can see those inner planets are almost all on that same plane. Hmm. I recommend this program. It's about $30. Get it for your kids. So let me go. If you believe that the Earth is the center of the universe, here's what the planetary motion would be like. Oh, that's just the Earth, which in itself is cool. And let me go to, I think it's this one right here. There we go. This would be the planetary motion if the Earth is the center of the universe. See, we don't think that's what the universe is like. And to me, maybe not to you, but to me, that diagram is an insult. I'm not next to geocentrists. I'm not next to flat earthers either. By the way, I'm sitting in the science nucleus with probably 20 other teachers, some earth science teachers. And I looked around and I said, which one of you, from your own observations and calculations, can prove that the Earth goes around the sun? They all shut up. We teach that because we've been taught that. I'm not saying we don't go around the sun. I'm not saying that. They cannot prove it from their own observations. Get it? So would this be okay? On this spectrum, if next to progressive creation, theistic evolution, if we put down here communism, Nazism, would that be a fair thing to do? You think that would be an insult to them? It's an insult to me, not to be called a young earth creationist, but to be lumped next to a geocentrist or a flat earther. So here we do see my very educated mother just served us nachos. They've left off Pluto, right? They've left it off. Now here's somebody that's included it. My response has always been, Pluto's there. Whether you call it a planet or not, that doesn't make any difference to me. Let's go back to my Starry Night backyard. And Lori, just come up and poke me if I spend too much time on this. Because I love this program. I know it's a simulation. It's not real, but it represents reality. So let's go to the outer planets. Here they are. I can kind of see why Pluto is considered to be the odd being there. You see its orbit there? It's not in the same plane as the other planets. So it's and it's small. There are asteroids as big as Pluto. So do you include those asteroids as planets? They decided, no, let's not go there. So now this is an 8-minute video, and we don't have time to do it, but I'm going to show you parts of it. There are so many things about the Earth that is just perfect. In fact, we're called to be in the Goldilocks zone. Not too hot, not too cold. The right rotation, the right tilt, the seasons, the moon, a giant planet, Jupiter, that protects us from being smashed with things that are in space that would cause havoc on the Earth. So let's watch a little bit of this.
There are indeed unchanging physical laws in the universe that apply to the entirety of the universe, that they're not localized to one place.
This consistency in the laws of physics and chemistry has led many researchers to conclude that the factors necessary for complex life on Earth are also the best parameters in the search for habitable planets elsewhere in the universe. Most serious discussions about these factors begin with the same prerequisite: liquid water.
All the searches that are...
And I have an entire presentation on just water, the suitability of water. I think the pastor mentioned that to me, and he was not here when I gave that, probably a year ago.
...are being done for life elsewhere. Their starting position is a terrestrial class planet with water.
It is now widely recognized that the chemical properties of water are exquisitely suited for carbon-based life. These properties include water's ability to dissolve and transport the chemical nutrients vital to all living organisms, and it's...
Okay, that's enough. Now, you don't like your weight here on the Earth? Go to a different planet, all right? As an example, if you weighed 100 pounds here on Earth, some of you are going, wow, that was when I was in fourth grade. If 100 pounds here on Earth, it weighed 17 pounds on the moon. It weighed 38 pounds on Mercury. 91 pounds on Venus. 38 pounds on... By the way, I'm not saying anything about the seasons or the conditions your life would be under. Your weight would be different. You wouldn't lose any size, but your weight would be different. 114 pounds on Neptune. 91 pounds on Uranus, 107 pounds on Saturn. Somebody says, well, Saturn is such a big planet compared to the Earth. Why would it be? Because force of gravity depends upon the distance you are from the center of that mass. And so on Saturn, you're a little further away. That's why it's just a little bit greater. On Jupiter, 253 pounds. There's some question as to whether if you were on Jupiter, you could even raise your eyelashes and be able to see, because your muscles are made to be on Earth. This is a very interesting, to me, a very interesting demonstration of the difference in gravity on the different planets. If you could jump 1.5 feet on Earth, what would happen on the other planets? Miss Mercury. There's Earth, 1.5 feet. There's the moon. Think of the high jump records there. There you are on Mars. Mars is a little smaller. I want to stop here for just a second. People look at this and go, what? Could you stand on Jupiter? It is a gaseous planet. It's a gaseous planet. No, so they made this little device here so you could check how high you could jump.
When you say it's a gaseous planet, is there no solid mass to it?
That is correct.
Really?
That's okay. Correct. Of course, all we know is about the surface. We don't know how deep it would go. Okay, we got to watch all these again. No, they did not send somebody to these different planets. The only planet we, the only place we've been is the moon, right? We've been to Mars with the rovers, but not a person. And of course, they leave out Pluto. Oh, it's snowing in Neptune. I've seen it snow in Indiana in May. Have you? Here's a guy pointing his telescope at the sky. He's got a motor-driven telescope. He's pointing at the moon. It's motor-driven because if you, and I found this out when I first used the telescope, you point at a crater at the moon, you get it all in line, and then the Earth is moving. It moves out of the field of vision. So you've got to get a motorized telescope in order to be able to track something. This is really a cool video, I think. And now you won't let go. So this is the video that he took. And that's not that expensive of a getup that the guy had. Next, meteors. Somebody asked me this on Wednesday night. Shooting stars. Yes, exactly. A meteor. Known as shooting stars are pieces of dust and debris from space that burn up in the Earth's atmosphere. If they land on the ground, what are they called?
Meteorites.
When they're up there, meteors. And most of them don't land. Where they create bright streaks across the night sky. And because of windshield mounted video cameras, we have a lot more of these. You've seen the guys that are tracking tornadoes and they drive right into them. I turn and go the other direction. I want to see a tornado in my life, but I'm not driving into one. These guys on the meteors, aren't you pulling over the side of the road? Let's have a look here before we drive further. Yes, Nat?
Now, I believe I read that meteors provide moisture to our atmosphere. Is that correct?
I would say that would be minimal.
Okay.
Would be almost nothing.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, Laurie and I, when we heard there was a meteor shower, and this has been several years ago, we went outside. It was about 2 in the morning. I'm a scientist. Come on, we're doing this 2 in the morning. And we actually laid blankets on the road and laid there and looked at the meteor shower. It was absolutely fantastic. People drive into our subdivision. We get up off the road, but, you know, we're not in Washington trying to demonstrate against the weather. And what are you doing? We're watching the meteor shower. So here's photographs of meteors. Some of them would be time-lapse photographs. You know, you might be able to do 1 or 2 minutes without blurring the stars. They're 30 to 50 miles up. They travel at 44 miles per second, up to. And have you heard of meteoric rise to the top? Who's the guy that did this? The rock top 10 every week, Casey Kasem? Meteoric rise to the top! And you go, what? A top 10 tennis star talks her meteoric rise. 5 incredible charts show Zoom's meteoric rise. TypeScript's meteoric rise on the charts. You hear that all the time, don't you? Meteors don't rise. Meteors fall, right? Now here, Abba, I wasn't listening at the time, so I don't know who Abba is. But they rocket straight to the top of the chart. Finally, somebody used the word correct. They use the words, but they don't understand the meanings. So this is kind of interesting. If you would, center your attention on the black dot in the middle. And we will watch that for about 30 minutes. About 15 seconds. You're focused on that, not on me. Do they look colored? I'm not talking about the color of the skin. I'm talking about... But when you focus away from them, they're truly in black and white. See, that's called retina fatigue. And that's son-in-law and the two grandsons. Here's one of the reasons that we travel to Wisconsin. We don't go as far as Minnesota. We stop at Wisconsin. You're focusing right on the tip of her nose, correct? That's Jocelyn. Does she look like she's in color there? Turn your eyes away some other place and look back in black and white. Here's Laurie and Brianna when we were at Camp Joy last summer. Focus on the center of the picture, and then look away and you'll see they're just a black and white picture. So, how about comets? I was personally disappointed with Halley's Comet. It comes around, I think, every 84 years, and it came by about 20 years ago. I thought you'd be able to go out and see it, and you got to look at an image on a TV, or you got to get a good telescope to see it. So here's a multiple choice question for you. If this represents a comet, which direction is it moving? I'll give you some choices. A, it's moving down and slightly to the left. B, it's moving straight down. In its orbit around the sun, which way is it moving? It's moving that direction. It's moving that direction. Or not enough info. I never put, I don't know, as an answer, because a student could circle that and they don't know. How could you count it wrong? It is not that, it's not that, it's not that, it's not that. It's moving to the right and down a bit. And here is the path around the sun. The gas tail is always pointed straight at the sun. The dust tail kind of falls away because the object, in this case, the comet, is moving that direction. These are interesting because if you think about it, comets are frozen leftovers from the formation of the solar system composed of dust, rock, and ices. Interesting. Yes, God could have created it when he created the solar system. They orbit the sun. The word comet comes from the Greek word kometos, which means long hair. This is interesting. I'll tell you, they do anything to support their theory. We might not exist if it weren't for comets. In other words, they have difficulty explaining OOL, origin of life. So they come up with comets came from outer space, hit the Earth, and deposited life on the Earth. All right, let's follow that back. Where did the life form? How did the comet get here? The life was on the comet? It doesn't make sense. By the way, they show a fairly detailed map, and there's Florida, South America. I think if a comet that size hit it, I say, goodbye. We're gone. So comets are called dirty icebergs. The ice consists of various frozen materials, mainly water, carbon dioxide, methane, and ammonia. The nucleus of the comet is believed to be a mass of ice several kilometers across with an admixture of small dust. Here we see a comet going through the sky. I did not realize this. Last December, there was a Christmas comet. A Christmas comet? Interesting. Now, we're told that millions of comets orbit the sun. They come from the Kuiper Belt and the Oort cloud. The Oort cloud is kind of interesting. Never been observed. The Oort cloud has never been observed. These comet reservoirs are way out in the solar system, very far away from the sun. The Oort cloud, for example, hasn't ever been directly observed, even to this day. Why do scientists believe in the Oort cloud? Let's look at why they believe in it. The solar system, they say, is roughly 4.6 billion years old, our solar system. Universe, 14.5 billion years old. By the way, since I was a teenager, the universe has aged about 10 billion years. That's how old I am. Comets have a short lifespan, relatively speaking. They can calculate this. Halley's Comet comes by. They measure the size of it, how many particles are coming off of it, how long is this comet going to last. They say 50,000 to 500,000 years. Okay, do the calculation. If the solar system is 4.5 billion years old and comets only last 50,000 years, you got to have somebody out there making them, sending them to the Earth, right? Otherwise, the 14.5 billion years, 4.5 for the Earth, doesn't make any sense. Who, what? That's a good question. I don't know. Another comet. These are the items in our solar system. Pluto, Neptune. Oh, they even have Pluto there. That's nice. Meteorites, asteroids, comets. There actually is a DART program, Double Asteroid Redirection Test. They're going to send something to this asteroid because it's on a collision path with the Earth to try to break it up or get it to move a different direction. I think they're wasting their money, but have you ever noticed these SETI, do you know that word? Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, SETI. They spent billions of dollars making these radio telescopes. But have you ever noticed that all the telescopes searching for intelligent life are pointing away from the Earth? Let's talk about stars for a moment. Modern astronomers classify stars as gigantic luminous balls of plasma in hydrostatic equilibrium, where the outward radiation pressure balances the inward gravity. In other words, it doesn't collapse and it doesn't explode. That's what they're saying. Stars. I want you to imagine with me. Just go back. Let's just go back 3,000 years. A shepherd boy is out watching the sheep. Let me go back home. Let me go back now. I don't want to go one day at a time. That's too fast. One is okay, but let's go 20 seconds. And let's fire this up. Oh, let me get rid of the daylight. And let's fire it up. Imagine a shepherd boy is out there and he's looking at the heavens and he's saying, "You have set your glory in the heavens." And then I don't know when he wrote Psalm 8. Sometime later when he's king, he's reflecting about the time that he spent on the hills looking at the stars and the planets and the galaxies, not recognizing what each of them were, but saying he set his glory in the heavens. Fantastic. Let me stop this for just a second. Because this is really interesting about this time of the year. Let me see if I can get this situated the way I want. And go back just a little bit farther. I think you can see the moon there. Saturn. Mars. Venus. Jupiter. Let's go ahead a little bit. Now I've got the sun turned off so that you can see Mercury. That doesn't happen very often. They're pretty much in a line. And that's 1047. What day is that? Is this the 25th? What's today?
Today's the 24th.
I don't know. So, this is interesting. Right over here. You see what would happen to me? I'm getting ready to teach the class, and I get playing with this thing? This is Pleiades. Let me center lock that, and now let me magnify it. Do you know anything about Pleiades? It's mentioned in Job twice, and I think it's also mentioned in Hosea, I believe it is. Let me go back home. Let me turn off the sky, the daylight, so we can see. And they always turn me south. I like looking east. These are the stars. Do you recognize anything in the sky as we're looking north? And let me slow this down just a little bit so you don't get dizzy. Do you notice anything recognizable in the star patterns in the north?
Ursa Major.
Ursa Major. Now you use the technical name. All right, that's the constellation. What object do we see there? Do you see the Big Dipper? If you draw a line on the base of the Big Dipper, you point toward the North Star, Polaris. Watch as I turn, actually, as the Earth rotates, Polaris stays pretty much at the same spot, doesn't it? That's why it's called the North Star. You could always use it for navigation. And of course, the Polaris is in the Little Dipper. So that's a little harder to find sometimes. All right. Cool program. I love it. All right. And I wanted to show you that before I showed you this. You draw a line between those. By the way, does anyone know anything about this star right here? It is a double star. Supposedly, the Indians used it to test people's eyesight. If they could see the double star, they had great eyesight. I can't see a double star there when I look at it. This is supposed to be where stars are forming. Stars don't form. There's no evidence for it. It's not science when they say stars are forming. This is interesting to see the relative sizes of the planets. Here we see Mercury, the smallest. Here's Earth. And then they put Earth in the second panel here, up to Jupiter. Then they put Jupiter up to Sirius. Are you serious? This star is gigantic. By the way, there's the sun. There's Sirius. But you haven't seen anything yet. Here's Sirius, which was gigantic compared to our sun. And there's Aldebaran. And then here's Aldebaran and Betelgeuse. And then here's Betelgeuse and VY Canis Majoris. That would tell us where it's located. And that, it's interesting. When you look at the stars, You go, oh, you know, they're stars, they're all the same. Paul didn't think so. Under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said this: there are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, another of the moon, another of the stars, and stars differ from star in glory. They're different. We look at them and think, little points of light. There is a star so large, if you brought it to the center of our solar system, it would expand all the way out past Jupiter. That's how large that star is. Now, you know, being a chemist is going to do what a chemist has to do. I talk about what's going on, what we think is going on in the sun. We haven't sent anybody there to discover this. We observe the light, and we see hydrogen and helium and a tremendous amount of energy, and we say fusion is going on. Hydrogen 2, deuterium, hydrogen 3, tritium react in a reaction to give off helium, tremendous amount of energy, and neutrons. Again, they say, here's where stars are forming. I don't see any. Here's another feature of the Milky Way. This is called a black hole. Thank you. That's it. I don't know if you realize this, but Grant Rumba has been promoted to foot soldier for mail delivery. I guess this video was turned in on him a little while ago. Here he is driving. This is why he was promoted to a... Okay. Nebulas. Have you spoken to somebody who speaks in a nebulous? You can't tell what they're talking about? Nebulas don't have any structure to them? A giant cloud of dust and gas in space? Nebulas? Some nebula come from gas and dust thrown out by the explosion of a dying star, such as a supernova. That's the direction our universe is going. Downhill, exploding, not new stars forming. Again, now, this is not something you go out and you see. This is something they point a telescope at, and they use special filters on the telescopes, and they use time lapse. I don't know what these exposures could have been, but they might have been hours. Some beautiful sights in the sky. Some of the nebulas that are visible from Earth. The Eagle Nebula is called the Pillars of Creation. They use the words, they don't know what they mean. They do not believe in creation. Nebulas are examples of stars that have died and all this material has exploded. And this goes on for a while. Excuse me. Thank you. A galaxy is a huge collection of gas, dust, and billions of stars and their solar systems all held together by gravity. Galaxies, just absolutely, I go, wow, a galaxy? If you focus your attention here, you probably will be able to see the Milky Way. Let your eyes become accustomed to the sky. I'm not counting my payday on that. think you turned down the sound.
Possibly the most valuable world in the universe. Planet Earth. The only place known to support life. This beautiful blue marble is where our human journey began. But like the brave explorers of old that dared to travel beyond their horizon, we must leave the comfort of our home and venture deep into the unknown.
We may come back to that. I don't think we have time for it. By the way, the creator put us at the very edge of a galaxy so that we could see the rest of the universe. If he put us another place, we might not survive, but we wouldn't be able to see the rest of the galaxies that are out there. So I kind of wanted to end on a bang here. And there are scientists who believe in the Big Bang. I don't. I believe in the little bang here. And Justin has been faithfully, bring it on up, and you're going to have to, that's not good, we'll use that one.
I wasn't spinning it, but there wasn't any other
one. Oh, okay. Okay, here you go. He's been spinning this for a while. It's got isopropyl alcohol in it. We could turn the lights down. And I'm going to give him that. I'm going to pour the... He's been turning this around because it's a volatile liquid, isopropyl alcohol, and getting it vaporized inside the bottle. And I'm going to just pour this out. Oh, that's going to be enough. Okay, and let me put this over here because I know the quality of what that could do.
Hey, Wayne, what's your hair? Who's going to buy it?
You know what? Let me just light this. Okay, did anybody bring their grade card? That's funny when you're teaching chemistry class. Isopropyl alcohol is obviously a flammable liquid. What's the difference between the word flammable and inflammable?
Nothing.
They're the same. Flammable and inflammable are the same. What do you say when something does not burn? Non-flammable. I think I put enough alcohol in there. Do we have a fire extinguisher handy? Okay. I want to pour just a little bit of alcohol on the tip of the bottle. So, and that one is empty. That means it leaked out or somebody drank it. Isopropyl alcohol, as little as 75 milliliters, will cause you to go blind. Probably not a good idea. Somebody says, I'll just drink till I need glasses. By the way, and I taught this in my class when I got to organic chemistry, all alcohols are poisonous. All of them. You say, what about the drinking alcohol? It's poisonous. Young people, it will dissolve your brain cells, and some of you can't afford to lose one of the two brain cells that you have. It is the least poisonous of all of them. Are we done there? Okay, let me pour a little bit out just so it's on the tip. That's warm. Just so it's on the... You know, let's do it another way. Let's do it this way. Yeah, the kids are always rooting for an accident. Oh, you got a sub-chemistry teacher. Why is that? Because it singed his eyebrows with the last demonstration. All right, I think we're ready. You're going to put that right over the mouth of the bottle, and I'm getting back.
Justin, you're blocking the camera.
All right. We are ready. Thank you. We won't do the other one.
Thank you.
Now, I've done this many times. I haven't waited 14.5 billion years to see if people form. Yes.
I know that evolution and pretty much is all the same thing, but talk to you one time. Does evolution think the universe has a limit?
There would be various positions on that. Some say it's 14.5 billion light years out there, and that's the limit. That's as far as the Hubble has seen. Okay? So here's another view of our Milky Way, and there's Antares, a pretty good sized star, and there's Jupiter in its reflection. Now, they say the Milky Way is a spiral galaxy. What do? Fly away from the Milky Way and take a picture of it? No. We look at the Andromeda galaxy, and it seems to have the same pattern. We think we are a spiral galaxy. M31, and Lori and I have seen this in a telescope a few years back. The disadvantage of being married to a scientist. Focusing in on a tiny little portion of the sky where they didn't think there was anything. I guess I'm here to tell you that we serve an incredible creator. We worship a magnificent God whose creation is far beyond what we can even imagine.
Amen.
So I've appreciated the time that I've been able to spend with you the last 4 weeks. And I am done, Pastor.
All right. Thank you so much, Ian. Appreciate all that you've caused over the last month. We have bulletins.